Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Sometimes I feel it like I've got some honey in my voice, and then other times I just don't. And I almost feel like I'm disrespecting Hans Zimmer with an intro like that. I didn't have it on that one.
I don't know who Hans Zimmer is.
He's the one who composed our opening tune that we are allowed to hum. He is the very best composer, arguably, in movie history.
You think so?
He did Gladiator, Jurassic Park, all of the things that we all know and love.
No.
He did that. He didn't do Jurassic Park? Who was that?
John Williams.
Was it John Williams?
The actual goat,
John Williams.
I'll go onesie twosie with him. I'll give that to you, Hot Bob. I'll give that to you. At the top of the show here, got a little bit of house cleaning to do. Our good buddy Sean Mattson, who you heard at the top at the pre-roll with CardoMax, by the way, it's CardoMax.com. Promo code DB will get you a buy one, get one free there. Was on the show, and he was going to break the world record in the bomb suit. If he didn't, we said you had to shave and go full fulcrum. Well, we got a leg injury.
Mm-hmm.
And you called him out for that on air.
I didn't call him out. I was just like,
you said if you make a bet, still do the bet. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if right now I bet on on any sporting event and the person gets injured, I still lose the bet. And Sean, being Sean, obviously a man of his word, high moral principle and character, decided to not only shave off his hair, leg hair, and eyebrows, but to record the entire thing, which I found really funny.
Hilarious.
And he said he kept a beard for me, which I appreciate, because I feel like seeing him beardless and hairless would have been a bridge too far.
Yeah,
that would have fucked up my week. So I'm glad that he did it the way he did it.
If you have not seen it, I woke up to this video this morning. We had a business dinner that went pretty late last night. So I woke up to this video this morning and I hit Sean up and I was like, I'm going to post it on Instagram, on Drinking Bros Podcast Instagram. And I was like, I'm going to show this at the top of the show today. This is Sean Mattson from CardoMax. Again, promo code DB, BOGO. Buy one, get one there at CardoMax.com. Shaving his entire body. Go ahead and play that. And turn up the volume, if you will. You got volume on that?
Oh,
oh really?
Boy. I mean, like, the volume's on the computer, but Instagram won't let me do it.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. That's good enough. I'll explain it to the audience here. So he shaved off his head. Once he went with the B ring, a.k.a. the Bozo ring, the Jack Mandeville, he gave Jack Mandeville a shout-out. Then he proceeded to shave his entire head bald. Boom. There you go. And then there goes the eyebrows. There goes the eyebrows, legs, pubes, head, eyebrows, all of the things.
He didn't record himself shaving his pubes.
It's like, well, we can't air that.
So it wouldn't have mattered.
We can't air that.
Yeah.
So shout out to Sean Mattson. Look at that Bozo ring, brother.
Yeah, that's really good. By the way, Jack had to shave his. I think he's got a role coming up where he had to be bald for it.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately, but, you know, I guess... You know, it's getting to be summertime right now, too, and Jack lives in San Antonio. It's not exactly cold down there, so it's probably not a great idea for him to be cruising around with all that hair anyways.
No. So the eyebrows is the worst one because that's going to take a while.
Maybe, yeah.
And his wife, I believe, is pregnant, I think he said. And
oh, that's not great for her then.
No, she was not stoked. The text message said, my wife does not like surprises, and she came home to this. So Sean Mattson. You're the real MVP, a true American hero for this, a man of your word. This is amazing. This is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It's pretty funny, yeah. Also,
the eyebrows, man. It takes a while.
It's a lot.
It takes a while.
It's that one. That one's going to be a minute to grow back. Maybe he'll paint on Chola eyebrows, though. Should we make another bet with him where he has to rock Chola? No, his wife will divorce him.
No.
Yeah. We can't do that to him. No, that's really funny. And CardoMax, by the way, I'm drinking it right now.
Yeah. We got these new DB shakers from Gronkowski Brothers.
Yeah, I need energy.
Yeah.
And it's intensified energy.
It is intensified energy.
I'm also drinking this sour beer that Alex Chichoff sent me.
Shout out to Alex Chichoff.
Yeah.
For sending some beers to the office.
It's called Fate's Whisper.
How is it?
I haven't tried it yet. I'm going to pour it into this new Defund Politicians coffee mug, actually. Yep.
I'll take a little. We got a brand new Drinking Bros podcast mugs. Are these for sale yet?
They'll be live next week. Probably by Friday next week.
Slang that over here. I'll give you a little taste. Shout out to Chicha.
Yeah, it'll be up next week. We just had to order a bunch, and we added two other designs. So this one will come in black and white as well, and then the one you have. We'll have this mug logo on it right here. Just a big mug logo.
Yeah. Sides. These are awesome.
We just wanted to give everybody. We have plenty of different shit coming out soon, but I wanted to get these mugs out soon because I know people have been asking for the
podcast. a little preview here, and then cheers to Alex Chichoff.
Oh, damn, that's good.
Is it? Where's it from?
I don't know. Read it. You got the can.
Store Cold, Fate's Whisper. The canning's cool.
Yeah, the can's good.
Independent Craft. Blue Oak appears to be the name of it. Yeah. Yeah, Blue Oak is the name of this. San Carlos, California. Blue Oak. You and I are big sour beer fans.
Let's see what this is. I mean, it's a 7%. You don't see sours under 7% very frequently. This is very tasty.
Ooh, that's nice. I'm going to say this company again. Who is this? Blue Oak?
Yeah.
Out of San Carlos, California. Congratulations, Blue Oak.
It's Blue Oak Brewing Company.
That's nice. That is a nice Fate's Whisper.
Yeah.
Big fan of that. Holy shit. It's always hit and miss from craft breweries.
Yeah, you never know.
Even when we're doing the seltzer, you know, we've done all these live shows all over the country, called our favorite brewers, and we're just like, hey, I know you and I can trust you. So Tactical Brewery down in Orlando is who we partnered up with for the seltzer, and they knocked it out of the park. If you didn't see last night's bonus live episode, man, we got rocked. We hit rocks last night.
Yeah, we did a little bit.
But all the flavors are perfected and are in, and yeah, next steps are coming up. Yeah. She should be out in the fall, shooting for football season, so we can be with all the people for it. In the meantime, we got some fake news that unfortunately is real news. This one got me, Dan. I'm not going to lie. Typically, news stories don't really get me that much. Where I'm like, all right, sweet, I can dismiss this one. I was genuinely pissed off about this morning. This is Biden, who's considering packing the Supreme Court. He hired a committee, what was it, a week or two ago? And now Democrats are trying to push a bill starting today. So on April 9th, Joe Biden signed an executive order creating a commission to look into the legality of him stacking the Supreme Court in his favor. Now, he did say he was going to do this right before the election started. So this wasn't that surprising. Mm-hmm. You and I have covered this before. What is surprising, though, is that it appears as if the Democrats are trying to follow through on this. The 36-member commission is going to examine the court's role in the constitutional system and the length of service of Supreme Court justices, turnover practices, and case selection, which is weird to me.
Yeah.
Case selection. And now congressional Democrats plan to introduce legislation on Thursday to expand the U.S. Supreme Court by four justices, a proposal aimed at breaking the conservative grip on the court that's promises, I can promise you this, to draw fierce opposition from the Republicans. The commission study was expected to last 6 months, but I guess it was a little bit too long for them to wait. They said, No, fuck it. We've got about 2 years left until the next elections are in.
Yeah. Jerry Nadler, who is
spearheading
best known for being a little person that denies the existence of Antifa, even when the Democratic headquarters in Seattle's burning to the ground. Right. So that's a level of cognitive dissonance that I'm not really comfortable with, frankly. But everybody knows he's kind of a cunt. I mean, he's a politician. Of course, he's a cunt. But
yeah.
They want to introduce legislation today. Pelosi actually turned him down on putting up for a vote. I mean, probably because... it doesn't matter. The Senate won't pass that.
I know why she did it. So, because that was right before we went on air. You had told me that. And because when I read this story this morning, this was on fire this morning. This is a Republican rally call. You always need that one flashy thing to kind of rally around and be, a buzzword or like packing the court, right? You need that one thing to rally around to say, hey, guys, this is why you should vote for us in 2022 coming up for these the House elections and all this shit.
Right.
This is a massive one that will get everybody out and be like, that's not going to happen. And I think Pelosi is trying to head that off knowing how big of a topic this is going to be, and they will not escape this, right? No. The same way the Democrats used the insurrection against Trump and everybody else for months and months and months. This is the same thing for Republicans now, where they can hang their hat on this and say, you're going to just add in four people to the court. The most intelligent voice I've heard on this was a Republican leader on a show that is very, very left called The Circus. Old school guy. He's now retired, but he used to do some consulting for the Republican Party for years and years and years. His name is escaping me. Southern guy. Very laid back. And they had asked him before the election about packing the court specifically, right? In a nice Southern drawl, he kind of took his time with it. And he said, well, you know, if they do it, politics are all cyclical. And by the next go-round, the Republicans, when they get in control, whatever year that is, will probably bump it to 17 and then 21, then 27, and back and forth.
That's the same thing Bernie Sanders said, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exact same thing. He's like, this is a terrible idea because as soon as Republicans win the next election cycles, then they're going to fucking flip it. And why? What's the purpose of this? Now, Pelosi's support of it, despite the fact that she didn't put it up for a vote today, but for exactly the reasons you said. One, she knows she can't win it right now unless they go nuclear option in the Senate, which is a whole other fucking thing. But both of those things would be a rallying cry for Republicans, and they would get smoked in the midterm elections. They're going to get smoked in the midterm elections anyways, probably, but we'll see how that goes. At any rate, Stephen Breyer, Supreme Court Justice, also said, like, look, if you do this now, and it's a politically motivated move, which it clearly is, you weaken the fucking the public trust in the court.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
The court and its power only exists because the public trusts it to make good decisions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Pelosi's thesis is that because the country is larger population-wise now, we need more justices. What the fuck? That doesn't make any sense.
No.
The 13 number in particular is to match, and I don't agree with this, but it's to match the number of district courts.
Correct. Yes. And well, that's right. What they're saying, right?
But what's the,
that's what they're saying. Yes. But that's the justification for four instead of six or
correct.
Whatever.
That's absolute nonsense though. Obviously they're just trying to pack the court. So they can say whatever they want, but even if that was their legitimate excuse, it's not a legitimate excuse.
No,
you don't need, like, why 13? Why not 40? Why not 300? I mean, what difference does it fucking make? The more you add to that, right, the less likely you have the best possible quality of justice. That's mm-hmm. how it works, man.
Yeah.
So, let's be clear. There's only one reason the Democrats are pushing this through. They have a leftist agenda. They know they will be judged on its constitutionality, and they feel like the only way to make law and then keep it is to have leftist fucking activist judges in there. That's it.
Yeah.
Right? Otherwise, it's like... If somebody sets up camp, when Caesar marched to the Rubicon from Gaul and set up military camps around there, everybody knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you come there and start preparing for war, which is what they're doing right here, they're preparing for political war by doing this. They're trying to take one of the fucking weapons away from Republicans that they have right now. If you're preparing for war like that, then it is clearly your intent to start a goddamn war. Now, I don't mean a physical war, but let's be real. It's beginning to look a lot like combat. You know what I mean? This is not great.
This one topic here would cause more than protests, I believe, because that's...
If they were doing it at any other time, it might not be that huge of a deal. But now that they're trying to... there's a direct assault on the First and Second Amendments and the Fourth Amendment. Now that's a problem, right?
Yeah, and the argument that I'm hearing out of most Democrats is, Trump packed the courts on his own. He put three Supreme Court justices in there. No, that's when they were up, and he had the right to do it, and he had the votes. Now, every Democrat is holding on to this Merrick Garland thing, like fucking Pennywise is holding on to a red balloon. Merrick Garland didn't have the goddamn votes. It wouldn't have mattered if Obama would have put him up against the Senate. The Senate wasn't controlled by the Democrats.
Yeah.
He would never have passed anyways. So it didn't matter. It didn't matter who the fuck they threw up there. They simply didn't have the votes. And it's the same way with Pelosi today. If she did walk this back, you're right. They don't have the votes unless you go a nuclear option, and that would be horrific. Because right now, people are still looting. People are still rioting for other reasons other than what the fuck is going on at the Capitol. This, on top of everything else, would turn this country into a fucking shit show.
Yeah,
so, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, if you see or feel conflict coming, your first instinct should be to try to mitigate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if when a police officer shows up at a scene and some dude's acting like an asshole, his first job is to, one, protect people, of course. But you want to de-escalate that situation. The best result is that everybody walks away unharmed, even the fucking asshole.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that is what people should be doing. But we talk about this all the goddamn time. Divide and conquer. If somebody's trying to divide you, they're trying to conquer you, right? And there's only one way to keep somebody from conquering you, and that's by knocking their ass the fuck out. You know what I mean? So... we'll see how this all goes.
Look, typically, I would never say that a potential law would cause violence. I can only think of two: this one, and then maybe abortion. Right? If they overturned Roe v. Wade, I think people would fucking that.
The
would
left
cause,
would burn the city to the ground.
Yes,
yeah.
I those are the only
this
two
city, this country.
That really come to mind where I was like, all right, what would it be? Or if you nuked 2A, right?
Right.
Three.
But, so
I.
So this is a constitutional crisis that we're in right now. Not because it is not unconstitutional for Congress to add more seats to the Supreme Court. There is nothing in the Constitution about how many members of the Supreme Court there should be, mm-hmm. only that there has to be a Supreme Court, right?
Right.
So that part's not unconstitutional. What is a constitutional crisis is politicizing the bench, right?
Yes.
So you can fucking get your side's stuff done. Now, if you're afraid that the constitutionality of some of your new proposals is going to come into question, that's a good thing. You should accept that, because the ultimate goal should be to find out if this stuff is okay to exist inside of our society. You shouldn't be, politicians are all about my way or the highway and pushing their own agendas, but that's not how it's supposed to be. Like, this whole system of the Supreme Court and the fucking district courts and so on and so forth, and the public discourse is supposed to be about finding out what the right answer is and make sure we're doing things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're far gone from that, right? So when we're talking about potential conflict and whether it's physical or political conflict, the ultimate goal cannot just be to dominate the opponent. The goal has to be to get the right answer, right?
Right.
I strongly urge people who are feeling very angry about this right now to make sure that that is where your focus is, on getting the right answer and not just defeating your enemy.
Yeah.
It's super important to keep that in mind.
It is.
Because it's easy to overcorrect. And look, yeah, communism comes from the left, but fascism comes from the right. And they look really similar, right? And they very frequently happen as a rejection of the other far side. That and throughout history, fascism will pop up as a rebellion against socialism taking over in Europe, for example.
Right?
Can't be allowed.
Yeah, and you know, I'm with you on the politicians thing, man, the AIPAC shit. Like, all politicians are fucking cons. Like, again, the reason I voted for Trump is because he wasn't one. With this, if they did something like this, this would be a never-ending pissing contest every time somebody, it flips, Republican, Democrat, Republican.
Yeah.
There would be never-ending judges, and our courts would be a fucking joke at that point. This one I am strongly against, and I was really pissed off. When Pelosi walked this back, it made a little more sense, where I was like, yeah, you don't want to give that rallying cry out for 2022, because that's game over. And that's you get to a point then where people start voting and not caring about who the actual candidates are.
Well, it won't matter. I mean, there are tips. A couple. I said this, what, 3 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago. There's a couple of things that you're going to see happen. One, you're going to see some kind of gun legislation on a low ball. They're trying to float test balloons and see how people react to it, see how mad they get.
Mm-hmm.
They're also trying to do what's called risk spreading, which is spreading your risk over a larger area, basically. So they're trying to do things on an elongated timeline, but in a timeline where they know they're still going to have control. So the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to float gun control shit, see how that reacts. The second thing is they're going to float Supreme Court shit, see how they react to that. And the next thing that starts to happen is they actually start voting on stuff.
Right.
Right. The last domino to fall will be invoking the nuclear option in the Senate. Once that happens and the filibuster is gone, that is where the real conflict will begin.
Yes.
Or that's where it should begin. Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I 100% agree.
Like, that
and
cannot
I, and
be
I think,
allowed.
I think it will. Again, there's three things that I think would actually cause real conflict in the country more than protests and shit like that. If they overturn Roe v. Wade, if this got bumped up to 13, and then, you know, if they start coming after guns. I hope this doesn't happen for the sake of our country, but I have no idea anymore. Like, for real. I wake up and every day I'm fucking surprised by something where I'm just like, well, shit. You know, speaking of real violence going down, Minneapolis is on fire, Brooklyn Center in particular, and the George Floyd trial isn't even over. Hot Bob, can you check this? I think before I walked into the office, I heard something on the radio that maybe the defense had rested or they were
done.
Yeah,
they've rested, and also Chauvin invoked the Fifth, so he's not going to testify.
Oh, he's not going to testify. Okay.
It's basically over. The counsels will make their closing statements now. Mm-hmm. Then the judge will give the jury instructions, and then they'll begin deliberation. I don't know when that'll happen, though.
Let me ask you this. Do you think he should have testified?
I mean, so here's the reason that you would do that is to humanize him. So he could come on and talk about being apologetic for it and seem like a somebody who's has remorse for what happened. I mean, look, the prosecution did not do a very good job. So mm-hmm. I think they felt like they didn't need to do that. And why risk it at that point? Because he does get cross-examined if he goes on the stand. So the prosecution was dog shit, honestly.
Right.
A couple of their witnesses wouldn't even testify. A lot of people said stuff that they didn't like. They had people from the local PD saying one thing, but then actual industry experts saying something entirely different. That's not a good look. You know what I mean?
And then the drug dealer.
And there's a medical, the drug dealer was their witness, but he wouldn't testify.
Like when
you call a fucking witness to testify and they plead the fifth.
Yes.
That's not a good look for you. That means you didn't do your fucking homework.
And was the jury honest. In court when he pleaded the fifth or was it before? I was having this debate with my wife last
I actually
night.
Don't know that.
Okay. Cause if they were, I remember when, we'll just use the OJ trial cause it's right behind you. I remember when Furman went up and pleaded the fifth on the stand in front of the jury. Everybody was like, whoa, all right, well, shit. Mm. So if the jury was there when he pleaded the fifth, that would have been a big deal. I heard last night, you know, as we were watching this, that they could possibly have a verdict by next week, potentially the end of next week.
Yeah, I don't expect there to be a very long deliberation. I mean, I think it'll probably be 2 weeks from now because there are multiple charges. Mm-hmm. So they'll have to decide. They have to go down through the list.
Correct.
Like, I think there's four charges, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And they have to go through, like, all right, is this one good? Is this one good? Is this one good? Is this one good? Then they have to fucking, whatever the highest level of charge that they agree on, that'll be the one that he gets. Or
right.
the conviction. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's going to take them a minute. Nobody knows what the makeup of the jury is, right? But.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe you've seen pictures and shit, but you don't know how.
Well, no, I haven't seen pictures.
You don't know how the people think and stuff like that,
or
who the foreman is and what they're. I mean, look, juries are like a fucking exercise in sociology. It's mm-hmm. so weird the way they fucking interact with each other and people that step up and become leaders, like the foreman and shit like that. It's a very bizarre, unpredictable circumstance. So
yeah, because the people themselves are from all walks of life, and you don't know who you're getting. I've said for years that they're. I think it should be a job. That you were a professional juror, you go to college for it, you study cases, and then you go in and do this shit. Because when it's left up to like
strangers,
people and
people who can be swayed by emotion, you know what I mean?
Anything they can be swayed by.
Yeah.
And as this is going on, obviously a riot broke out on Monday after the fatal shooting of Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center.
This one doesn't make sense to me. Now, I understand why people are fucking pissed off because this woman, one, she's already been arrested and charged. But
she's been booked. Yeah.
Yeah. So she also resigned as the chief of police there. But, I don't understand. I understand the anger for sure. I don't understand the rioting because the system worked exactly as intended. Right.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you expect to happen? I mean, some people are calling like, Rashida Tlaib and people like that want to end police altogether.
Yes.
And good fucking luck. I mean, start with yourself, get rid of your security guards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get rid of your fucking protection right now. And then maybe we'll think about following suit since you're such a fucking tough guy. I mean, maybe Nancy Pelosi will show up and wrestle him in the streets and she's a fucking street fighter now.
Yeah. I mean, look,
Hadouken. Can you imagine that stupid fucking 88-year-old woman trying to fight somebody in the street? Are you kidding me? She can barely stand up without breaking a hip.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
Fucked. Idiot.
I saw the pictures from inside the Capitol building. It's clear. It looked like all of those people wanted more police to be there. The Rashida Tlaib thing. She is out of her fucking mind, and they're out of their goddamn minds up there for reelecting her. You don't want police? Great. If I'm there, fuck her. Like, fuck her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
honestly. Go be on your own. You're right. Like, this was very unfortunate, and it was shitty. She thought she was pulling a taser, pulled a gun, killed this guy. But you're right. The justice system worked exactly like it is supposed to. Fucking homeboy resigned.
Yep.
She resigned, got immediately arrested. She's charged with manslaughter. She's probably facing, 10 years if she's found guilty?
Yeah, she'll probably get 5 years in prison, if I had to guess.
Right.
That's what I would guess when this is all said and done. Because the body cam footage got released so quickly. Now, look, they're going to look back into this woman's past and look for abuse against minority complaints and stuff like that, and maybe try to make a bigger case at some point. But just as it stands right now, and look, all the information that's available, all the experts that are, I mean, even people who are the most diehard supporters of the police, like Amiri King, for example, mm-hmm. is like, can't really fucking confuse the two. You are trained to have, and I believe the police chief said this, yeah. you're trained to have these two weapons on opposite sides of your body. You're trained to use your non-dominant hand to pull a taser, right? Mm-hmm. What happened was, I mean, this woman's been a cop for a while, too. She's not a fucking newbie. She's not a probie or whatever the fuck, a P1 or whatever the fuck they call that. She's been around for a while. She was negligent and incompetent, and now a human being is dead, right?
Right.
And she belongs in prison for it, probably for longer than 5 years, frankly. She certainly should never have been a police officer in the first place. And this rioting doesn't do anything, though. What needs to happen is a conversation about how we fucking choose our police. If you can't handle that situation, then you don't fucking deserve to wear the goddamn uniform. That's just that simple, man.
But it like, goes back to what you said. Do you know
how many shoot situations I've been in my life?
How many?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fucking hundreds. I don't even know.
Yeah.
And places that are way worse than this.
Yeah.
They're way worse than Minneapolis. You walk it like in split seconds. You go through a door, right? And I see an old lady right there. But I know there's a bad dude inside. My options are to fuck her up or fuck her up a little bit, get her on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. Scare her maybe a little bit. And it happens in less than a second. I decide to fucking shoulder check her into the wall. Then my guy behind her just pulls her down to the ground and holds her there while the rest of us run into the room, right? Mm-hmm. So I've hurt her a little bit, but I've kept her alive. Those are decisions we make every single day. And there's the vast majority of police officers can do this. The fact that they get shit training, the fact that they're not required to do continuous training and tactics like this, like you should be getting tested all the time.
Yeah.
And the idea from Tlaib that we get rid of them or that we defund them, right, is fucking, that's the dumbest shit of all time. We need police. We absolutely need them the same way we need the military. They have to be the best, most professional, most well-trained and armed and equipped people that exist, right? And they have to be the best people that exist. It's not enough to be good at doing physical shit. You have to be a good human being as well, right? We're not doing a good job of that in a lot of cases. Like,
well, and the irony of it is you actually need more funding so you can get better training.
For
and
sure.
Defunding them. Look what happens to these fucking cities who have defunded police already.
Well, every single one of them has now requested additional budget for cops. Every single one of them has defunded police. Even the fucking Pacific Northwest ones, which... That's got to be a fucking, that's got to suck for them. We'll talk more about Biden on this later about how he's basically just using Trump's playbook now.
Yeah.
Like CNN actually did a report, and we'll get to this here in a little bit.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
CNN wrote an article that was like, Biden's actually getting done when Trump said he did. So you're saying Trump was right.
Yeah.
But because of leftist obstruction, he couldn't get it done? Because of you, CNN?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Thanks for admitting that. And that'll take us in. Look, before we'll wrap this up before we get into the CNN story. But
well, there's one more thing I wanted to ask you about this, right? Because there's some listeners here on YouTube. By the way, hammer the like button if you're watching right now, so we can skyrocket up the algorithm. There's some people in here who are saying resisting arrest seems to be the theme in a lot of these shootings and in cases like this, right? For the most part, yes, that is true. However, the one guy, the military guy, and I watched that footage. That guy did everything properly that you could ever ask
for. Well, he didn't step out of the vehicle.
But I think he was asking, though, what am I being arrested? What's going on? Because he didn't understand what was going on.
Right.
Keys were out. Hands were on top of the thing. I don't think he understood what was going on.
Yeah, it's interesting how those scenarios play out in the public discourse, because people who would yell, he should comply, right?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody came into your house, right, or your car and started demanding you give up your shit, how would you fucking act? Because I wouldn't comply with that. Fuck those assholes.
Right.
If a guy's fucking standing there screaming at me, being unprofessional and doing that shit, I'm probably going to roll my goddamn window up and then I'll call 911 myself and say, hey, send a supervisor out here, right? That's the proper way to do it. Now, if you're a black dude, even in uniform, probably not the best idea to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't buy this whole think about this from the conservative angle and the liberal angle. Why do conservatives expect people to comply with police officers all the time, no matter what? That doesn't make sense. That's not a very conservative viewpoint, frankly.
Yeah.
It's one that gets completely, completely rejected anytime it has to do with your First or Second Amendment rights. So if it's a Fourth Amendment violation, which that clearly was, right? They had no reason to fucking fuck with this dude.
Yeah.
If it's a Fourth Amendment violation and the guy's getting a bit of an attitude about it, which is his right to do, all of a sudden he's not complying. Like, when did compliance become part of the American fabric? Are you fucking kidding me? That is absolute fucking nonsense. Get the fuck out of here. I don't give a fuck if it's a way to stay alive. Fuck those guys. If you're a cop out there and you're trying to intimidate people, I don't support you. You can get fucked. I support cops that do their jobs in a professional way. I support community policing. I support guys who take the time out of their day to go meet the people on the street who they serve and protect every day. Tank Machine, for example.
Yeah.
Now that he's a sheriff's deputy. He's actually on his way to becoming a detective now. But every single day he sends me pictures, Snapchats, fucking post shit on Instagram of him walking around talking to people. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
Hey, ma'am. Playing basketball with kids. That's a cop to me. A cop is not a fucking soldier. A cop is a human being that inserts themselves into communities to make sure that community is protected. That's it. So I don't buy this shit about compliance. You guys can get fucked.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Probable cause was a tinted window. It's none of your fucking business what I'm doing inside my car. Fuck you. Did I commit a crime? Did you see me commit a crime? Then get the fuck on down the street, guy. Jesus Christ. And when they roll down the window and they see that he's a fucking army lieutenant, close the door, have a good day, sir, and walk the fuck away, unless you know for sure he did something illegal.
Yeah.
All of this was inappropriate.
Yeah.
That's a fucking stupid law, Family B. Like, my window's being tinted. You don't have a right to look inside of my fucking car, especially not in a castle doctor state. You don't have the right to come up to walk onto my property and look through the windows of my house. Mind your fucking business.
Yeah, we get a lot of messages about that, so I thought I'd ask you about it on air. That'll lead us into our first sponsor of the day. That is ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 30% off everything in the entire store. All of it. The sheets, the pillows, the mattresses, the adjustable bases. The sheets are great, by the way. I own the sheets. I don't think I give enough love to the sheets on this show, and I will.
The sheets are the best.
Yes, because they come with this special, like, it kind of looks like the top of a Shanjon, you know, like a boxer.
Yeah.
That goes around the mattress, and the fucking sheets stay in place.
They fit really well, yeah.
I don't know why nobody's ever done that, or if they have a patent on it themselves.
Well,
or
now there's a lot of people trying to copy them, but they're not as good, to be honest.
Big fan of the sheets, big fan of the pillows, and the adjustable base I cannot live without in this life. They're putting my house back together, and they were like, what do you want? And I'm like, I need the fucking adjustable base, goddamn it.
Yeah.
Now, once you have it, I don't think you can go back at that point. Also, right now, if you buy a mattress, post it online, obviously you're getting 30% off, but if you put it on your Instagram, take a photo of it, and leave a nice little testimonial, they will send you 2 free pillows. All you have to do is tag at Ghostbed and at Drinking Bros Podcast, and you're good to go. They'll find you. They're out there looking for you. So that's easy. The other part that's easy is there's a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest, at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. So you can couple all of those deals with the 36-month pay-as-you-go program, and then congratulations, you get a new bedroom set for $35 a month, essentially.
Yep. It's one of the best deals out there, to be honest.
Yes, yes. Next up, what you were alluding to earlier about the CNN technical director.
Yeah.
Who was...
I really hate having to fucking give Veritas any kind of publicity because...
Project Veritas?
Yeah, I think they're a bunch of clowns every now and again.
James O'Keefe.
I mean, look, the information comes from where it comes from. That's just how it is. So Project Veritas released a video. What happened was the CNN technical director... Charlie Chester, which is not a great name, to be honest.
I hear Chester, I go Chester Molester.
Yeah.
Every single time in my mind.
That's definitely a short eyes name.
Yeah.
He got tricked by this woman on a Tinder date, and then just started saying some things that we all already knew, and now we know for sure, right? Now there's
evidence. Is that what it was? It was a Tinder date?
Yeah.
No,
which
shit.
Is really fucking funny, to be honest.
Yeesh. Yeah, it's getting hard to trust people in all fucking walks of life anymore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So look, he was recorded. Project Veritas put this out yesterday. He says, I'm 100% going to say it. If it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted out. Our focus was to get Trump out of office without saying that's what it was. And then later he goes on to say that, you know, he's trying to keep the fear surrounding the pandemic high while discussing stories regarding COVID. He's like, COVID gangbusters with ratings, which is why we constantly have the death toll on the side of the screen. Which,
what does he say? If it bleeds, it reads, I believe is a phrase he used.
Yep. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's an old phrase, by the way.
It is. It is.
Is that about periods or something? Should be.
I think it was about the ink bleeding on the prints of the paper back in the day.
Well, but Chester stated CNN is also trying to keep fears surrounding the pandemic high. He said,
yes.
Here's what he said. This is a direct quote. COVID question mark. I doubt he said question mark out loud. COVID gangbusters with ratings, which is why we constantly have the death toll inside of what you said.
Yeah,
so
I've
even looked at the death toll and been like, let's make it higher. Like, why isn't it high enough? You know, today it would make our point better if it was higher.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I said that. And then he also went on to say that the leadership at CNN decides where to push the next narrative. He says climate change is going to be the next COVID thing for CNN. We're going to really hone in on it. The climate thing is going to take years, so they'll probably be able to milk that for quite a bit. This is a direct quote. And then he goes on to say, fear sells. Fear really drives numbers. Fear is the thing that keeps you tuned in. And when asked why CNN doesn't show the recovery rates for COVID, he responded, because that's not scary. And then obviously if it bleeds, it reads after that. Look, we've been saying this for years on this program. I've been telling you this for years, that's how this works. They treat these networks as if they are a soap opera. And if you don't have a good enough storyline to keep viewers coming back over and over and over again every day, then you're out of business. Hence what happened to Reuters today. Reuters is
Reuters.
Now, whatever. They're gone.
Yeah, they don't.
Rest
they don't.
In fucking peace.
Yeah.
And good riddance. Now that Trump is out of there, we've said this time and time again before the election. If Trump was out of office, you got nothing to report on, and you're going to be out of business. So with Reuters, they're now going behind a paywall for $34.99 a month, hoping that you're going to subscribe to that. Shit. Not one fucking prayer is anybody going to do that.
No.
What is Wall Street Journal, a dollar a day or some bullshit? Like, or just a dollar a month?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
$21 a month.
Oh, is it $21
a
month?
I have a journal subscription.
Jesus
$21 a month.
Yeah, Christ, yeah. $21
what's,
a month.
What's the New York Times?
That's more than Six Netflix, goddammit.
Yeah, it is. It is.
The fuck out of here.
Yeah, I don't know what the Times is.
For print media, there's no way that the budget for production of print media is anywhere in the same fucking world as making fucking movies and shit.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Here's what is happening behind the scenes, because it's the same thing that's happening in Hollywood right now. So with a CNN, with the fear and everything else, if they don't keep these storylines going, the George Floyd thing hit at the right time. This fucking 20-year-old who got shot and killed hit at the right time for them. They really needed that. And then, you know, whatever happens with the trial, they'll be able to milk out for the next couple weeks if they don't get the verdict they want, right? Now, with the print media, with the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Reuters, they're down. This is bottom of the ninth. Two outs, and they need a fucking grand slam to win the game, because these numbers that they're throwing out are the numbers they physically need to operate. If they do not get them, they will all file for bankruptcy. So Reuters knows full goddamn well that they are going bankrupt, and that $34.99 is the magic number they need to keep this going. They know they're not going to get it, but then go into bankruptcy court and declare bankruptcy and said, hey, guys, we tried everything we could. We exhausted all of our resources, and that's it. Now, the New York Times is trying some other things with documentaries with FX and Hulu right now, hence the Britney Spears doc that came out that did pretty well. And then the podcast, The Daily, does really fucking well, although I hate it. It does well for them, and they're selling advertising from that. The Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post, Bezos is rich enough that he doesn't care. So he's got enough money to fund that goddamn thing forever, and that'll keep hanging around. And I think he knows there's something in it to where it's like, I can keep this hanging around for as long as I need it to be until all of my people are in there and I'm getting ready to fucking kick it. But the rest of them are fucking done. $34.99 a month. That is a Netflix. That is the full HBO, including this Cinemax option. You can get all the new movies with that.
Yeah.
Combined, and then throw in ESPN Plus on top of it.
Right. All right. So these outlets are dying, and they're trying to do whatever they can. So Chester, the molester, also said there's no such thing as unbiased news. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't exist. There's too many agendas. The next thing he said was kind of interesting. He said, the most unbiased news is grassroots, out of people's basements with podcasts.
And that he actually is correct in.
Yeah.
Well, look, he's right
correct
about everything.
Everything. Yeah.
He's right about everything he's saying. Yep. And he's like that. All of it is true. Completely 100% true. Everything he said to this woman, to this Tinder date, is true, because we hear this every day. People come to us. We named this show Fake News, like, back in the day, and you created it, if memory serves me correct, over that's Black Rifle, right? Mm. Wasn't that you? And it started off as
created
a joke.
Fake news? Well, I mean, Evan and I and Jared were just talking about it one day.
Yeah.
Just doing, like, topical shit, doing more topical shit. And we, I don't remember who said it first, but it was, we were all sitting in the room together, like, we should definitely do a show and just call, like, it was a show to address the idea of fake news. And somebody said, I don't know if it was me or not, but somebody said, we should just call it fake news.
Right.
And it was like, of course, we should just call it
fake news. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But now it's become kind of real. The ratings for fake news is fuck. Mm. Gangbusters on our thing, but we're actually the only ones with an opinion, I think. I'm not going to put myself on that high of a goddamn pedestal, but I think that most people can at least come here and try to get an honest opinion from somebody who's on the rights and somebody who's in the middle, and that's what we're giving you here, right?
Yeah, for sure.
If we see shitty things on the other side, we will try to call them like we see them, but at least we're honest about who I voted for and who I support and everything else. Whereas these shitbags aren't. CNN isn't. They're forced to go all left. New York Times is forced to go all left.
Yeah.
You have to choose sides, and he's correct in that.
And by the way, they certainly chose sides, and it wasn't just about issues. It was about fucking... wait, Catherine Lowe, did that happen today? Twitter just banned Veritas for posting this? Wouldn't be surprised.
O'Keefe is banned. I don't know.
He's been banned forever, though.
No, as of today. I saw people talking about it. I'm not sure about Veritas. I could check.
Yeah, look into that.
Pull up his account and see if it's up on screen here.
Well, it's definitely gone now because people are already reporting on it. But, yeah, it's one of the things that Chester said that we haven't covered yet is that he directly said that we got Trump out of office.
Yeah.
Like, CNN as an organization made a decision that they were going to get Trump out of office. Now, I don't know what the culpability is of a media organization using their time, money, and resources to affect... There's fair play acts and stuff like that.
So his account is suspended, but it is... I don't know that it is banned yet. But
Veritas suspended as well.
Veritas is suspended as well. Okay.
Huh. Not surprised. I mean, when they fucking ding... Who knows how much of Jack Dorsey's dick CNN has in its mouth right now? You know what I mean? I would say probably quite a bit.
That's the only way to stay afloat. Like, I mean, just thinking about it out loud, that is the only way to stay afloat. As far as the culpability goes for a news network, no, there isn't any, because it is still billed as entertainment and not actual real news. Unfortunately, there is no definition for real news anymore.
Yeah.
So they're not culpable for anything. And yeah, whoever they're owned by, whatever media company CNN is owned by, you can go behind the scenes and you can create these stories. And not that Fox isn't the same, doing the same shit.
Oh, of course they are, yeah.
So I don't want to just say that it's CNN. Everybody has chosen a side for ratings, for money, to stay alive and stay on the air.
Well, this is what happens when you introduce profit motive into something that is meant to be a public utility, right? So news and information is supposed to be a public utility, as is modalities of communication, whether they be phone lines back in the day, or the mail, or social media now, right? These are all public utilities. Anything that has an effect over the information flow has to be protected. And it's not being protected. It's fucked. So, you know, we're here now, and now we can roll into this fucking stupid shit with Biden. He's basically... I'm sorry, we'll get to that in a little bit. Right now, we'll go into the fucking... the border situation again, just to give you some updates on this. So the Biden administration is considering addressing the surge of illegal immigrants by paying their home countries to keep them.
Okay. How much money?
I don't know, but now we're being fucking shaken down by poor countries. Are you fucking kidding me?
Look, if you're the poor country, yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea for Guatemala, Honduras, yeah. and El Salvador. By the way, that's
send more people over and then request more fucking money.
Yeah, that's where MS-13 comes from. By the way. The program targets Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador and involves a conditional cash transfer program to address their falling economies. Now, that isn't the worst idea I've ever heard.
Yeah.
If you live in a neighborhood and one of the houses catch on fire, probably a good idea for you to go help put that fucking fire out, man, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because if not, eventually your house is going to catch on fire too. If these people are truly in trouble down there economically, it makes a lot more sense for us to help them economically than it does for us to even build a wall, frankly, and get them invested in the safety and security of the entire region. And that way we have standoff all the way out to fucking Honduras at this point. You know what I mean? That's a whole different landscape than what we're dealing with now. We think in terms of black and white, where we have a problem of securing the border right now. Let's just secure our border.
Right.
That is a temporary solution. If we have three neighbors to the south, four now, that are all intent on defeating our security, it's going to get defeated on a pretty regular basis. There's no perfect form of security. I'm not saying not to do the immediate stuff now, like maybe a pause on immigration, stuff like that. Those are all things we should consider. But long term, you have to fucking do some of this other shit. I'm not 100% against this. It's $186
million. Okay, $186
million.
And I'll tell you why I'm also not against this is for the long game. Mm-hmm. As far as imports and exports, if we're dealing with four countries that are safe, you don't have to deal with all this other shit of everybody coming across the border, trying to fight that off and kids being chucked over fucking walls and shit. That is an investment.
Yeah.
But then you can always take that money back on the back end and tax a little more on imports and exports to say, hey, that'll pay for the 186 and we'll figure it out over the course of
681. But yeah, I mean, the problem is, and who was it that said it right here? Tony Zek, no corruption in any of those countries. That money will go straight to the people. That's a good point. Are we just paying these people are we paying these countries, these leaders, to oppress their own people at that point? Because we can't do that.
Right.
We can't do that because eventually, not only are those people trying to escape those countries, they now see America as somebody that's facilitating their oppression and they become anti-American. You understand? These are deeply complex issues.
And I don't know the answer. You would know better than I, simply for the fact of, you know, when you were overseas, you guys would give weapons to different tribes and all that other shit, right? Hoping they would fight with you.
Correct.
And I'm sure some of them turned at some point.
For sure. I would say probably the vast majority of them turned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all that money went to these guys. Now we just fucking gave them all weapons and they can, you know, blow shit up and whatever. That's where I think it gets dangerous, right?
Of course.
If the money's not going to the right place or the right people. Yeah.
And despite just being inherently dangerous, it's also immoral for America to continue. We've done this for years, by the way, to continue giving money to people like Saudi Arabia, who routinely murder their own people, including journalists. You know what I mean? There has to be some level of accountability. Now, I don't know what it looks like. Here's what the White House Southern Border Coordinator, Roberta Jacobson, said. We're looking at all of the productive options to address both the economic reasons people may be migrating, as well as the protection and security reasons. Now, this is what Trump did when he set up those fucking deals with South and Central American countries, right? He's already done this. And we'll get to more later about how Trump or Biden's just copying everything Trump did, which is hilarious, by the way. And it doesn't mean, by the way, that Trump was right or better. It just means that was the right answer.
At the right time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just what it means, man. Yeah. It's not about Trump. It's not about Biden. It's about that was the right answer. Can't we just fucking agree on that shit? God damn.
You can't because then if you give any credit to him, you know, then it's, we can't do that. And, you know, the right doesn't want to give credit to Biden or whatever. I don't give a fuck what it is. Just get the right answer.
Yeah. And so Jacobson continued that one thing I can promise you is the U.S. government isn't going to be handing out money or checks to people. Now, I understand that what's happening in New York with the fucking $15,600 payments to illegal immigrants is rubbed people the wrong way, particularly taxpayers in New York that are struggling financially because of COVID and having their businesses shut down by an oppressive government. I get it. Right. You should be angry about that. But to this guy's point, it might make more sense to skip the federal government there and go to the local governments. I mean, that's what we did in Afghanistan, right? That's the only part that worked is when we started paying these warlords to stay away. Like, just, hey, you guys stay out there, do your thing, but don't come over here. Yeah. I don't know what the political and social landscapes of these countries are. If they're ones that are dominated by local government, for example, those are the people that you want to be dealing with. The problem is, how is the government of Honduras or Guatemala going to feel, or El Salvador going to feel about us going around the side of them, right? So basically, you have to take this money and use it as a wedge, as a leveraging, or as a leveraged event, where you say, yeah, we're going to give you this money and help out your economy, but here's what we expect in return. It's like recertifying the deal we have with Brazil every year. Right. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. It's not altogether a bad idea, but it seems like we get to these points where we figured out 90% and we're like, fuck it, let's do it. But then we never complete the 10%, and that 10% turns into the next 90%.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just can't keep doing this. And our notes even say here, all this cash is going to line the pockets of cartels that are causing the economic and security problems in the first place. So that can't be the answer. There has to be some kind of enforcement mechanism attached to this. And I don't know what it looks like, to be honest.
I don't either. Because we don't know what the fuck is going on down there and who controls what. And let's face it, unless we send the military in there, I don't know that we'll ever get an answer on that.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Next up, we got Policy Genius on the show. Ooh. Man.
Home and auto insurance.
No one knows more about home insurance than I do these days.
Yeah, no kidding.
April means a lot of not-so-fun things. Getting fooled, getting rained on, and getting your taxes done. Extended it a month this time. But if you need a positive experience to balance it all out, consider shopping for home and auto insurance with Policy Genius. Policy Genius can help you find home and auto coverage similar to what you have now, but at a lower price. In most cases, they've saved customers up to $1,055 per year by reshopping their home and auto coverage. Getting started is easy. Just head on over to policygenius.com and answer a few quick questions about your property, and then they'll take it from there. They'll compare rates of other top insurers from Progressive, Allstate, USA, everybody you can imagine over there, and then see who's got the best rating for you.
Yeah, I mean, they look at everything. Yes. You can also log into your current policy over there, and it will compare your exact policy to the other ones that exist on the market, show you the difference in prices and all the other stuff. So if there's stuff like, you know, insurance companies oftentimes like to bundle stuff.
Yeah.
It's like cable television. Like, I don't need all the Telemundo things because I can't do that anyways. Yeah, you know what I mean? So they will fucking help you go down and carve all this stuff down to the lowest possible level of what you need. Ultimately, that you want to pay for what you're getting.
Yes.
Right. And not any extra. And that's what these guys are good at. That's why they're able to save you $1,055 on average per year.
Yeah, Policy it's a lot of goddamn Genius, money. By it the is, way. Man. They can promise you won't leave their website feeling like a fool.
Yeah,
Dan, they've saved customers $1,055 per year compared to their current home and auto policies. Head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right, and don't I fucking know it. Next up, D'Anthony, Marxist. BLM founder learns the joys of capitalism.
I just want to have Bill come in, Bill Shatner come in and yell Khan for this one. The name Khan just doesn't come up a whole lot
anymore. No.
And if we could just have him, hey, can you put that on the switcher board on the just have Khan ready, because I'm sure this woman's name is going to be in the news for a couple of weeks. Not right now. Don't do it right now.
Yeah. Patrice Khan.
Colors.
Colors. Yeah. One of the co-founding members of BLM and a self-proclaimed Marxist. That wasn't a flashy title for you guys. She's actually said, I'm a self-proclaimed Marxist.
Yeah.
Recently went on a real estate buying spree, purchasing 4 new homes, totaling more than $3 million. Among others, Khan Colors purchased a $1.4 million home in Topanga Canyon, featuring a 3-bedroom, 2-bath main house and a separate 1-bedroom, 1-bath guest house. I know Topanga Canyon really well.
Is that where that show was recorded?
Which one?
With Topanga?
That's where they got the name from.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yep. That was right on the thing. Same with Cloverfield. So Cloverfield, those guys were on a drive to the studio to pitch that fucking project, and they were like, "We don't have a name for this goddamn movie," and it was the exit they got off on. But Topanga,
that works
up there. I think I can say this. Rogan used to live up there. It's great.
Not anymore. Yeah, he lives here now.
Yeah, yeah, he lives here now, obviously. But he used to live up there, and nobody bothers you up there. It's north of Hollywood, and you're good to go. This is a nice spot to buy where nobody's going to bother you, and everybody's kind of hippie-ish up there. So, yeah, it makes sense that she would do this. Now, where did she get the money is what I can't figure out.
Well, it actually doesn't make sense why she would do this, because
the population up there, by the way, is like maybe 2% black. Yeah. No,
well, it's not about that. It's that
no. It's just it's odd. Like
a Marxist wouldn't do that. Well, actually, a Marxist would do this. So there's a different there's levels of people in within communism and Marxism, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are the people who are in charge, who steal all the money and then spend it on themselves.
Correct.
And then there's everybody else. Correct. Right. And it turns out that she, like we expected,
yeah,
and like I expect all these BLM leaders are out for themselves, right?
Yeah.
Not surprised by that.
But the same with the churches, like Joel Osteen and those fucking guys. Like, dude, they're fucking taking millions from this shit.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It's not just BLM, but, you know, fuck, whenever you have a group like this and you can't explain where the money's going, that's what we've said on this show forever. I was like, where the fuck is this money going?
Follow the money.
She was also reportedly spotted in the Bahamas looking at houses from $5 to $20 million. In response to the purchases, Hawk Newsom, great name, head of the BLM in New York, has called for an independent investigation to learn whether or not the homes were purchased with money embezzled from the foundation.
BLM Global Network Foundation released a statement claiming that this woman, Patrice Khan Cullors, serves as a volunteer and does not receive a salary or any benefits, also said that it's false and defamatory statement being amplified by right-wing media. I mean, no, there's county records of her buying the goddamn house.
Yeah,
that's how that
you
works.
Purchase a house, that's how that works.
Fucking idiots.
That's how that works.
Jesus Christ, man. That's like, that's the fake news war cry right there. The takeaway from this story is that a proponent of socialism, specifically Marxism, right?
Right.
Is very obviously benefiting from a capitalist economy as well as the hypocrisy of a BLM co-founder buying property in an area that's only 2% black. I mean, all of this reeks of this, the exact shit that you would expect from this.
Yeah,
people don't
yeah.
want to actually help other people or affect change. They just want to take advantage of other people, right?
Right.
Like, you want to stand on the shoulders of fucking plebs so you can get rich. That's it.
That's it.
You're a fucking cunt. Fuck
but
you.
We all knew this. This story isn't shocking to me.
No.
Because it was like, dude, where's this fucking money going? And why isn't it going back into the communities?
Well, there's been hundreds of millions of dollars raised, and no one really knows where any of it's gone, right?
No one. No one whatsoever.
Half of these BLM organizations aren't even 501c3s, I don't think. They're just PACs.
Yeah.
And if it's a 501c6 style PAC, you don't even have to report who sent you the money.
No.
You
know
what I mean? So thanks, Mitt Romney, for that one, by the way. That's Mitt Romney. Corporations are people, my friend. I'm going to fucking own a planet when I die.
Yeah.
Fucking moron.
Yeah.
What a cunt that guy is. Maybe
she won the lottery, Dan. We don't know.
No, she didn't win the lottery. But this is how it works anytime there's any kind of fucking system that takes away the right from the individual to earn their own living and then to protect that living with force, you will see people take it. They'll use administrative methodologies to take advantage of it. This is how it works, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's how it works. And when you hear stories like this, all you can do is drink. Mm. And if you're going to have some drinks and you're a wine lover, go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinking bros, Dan. Oh, yeah.
First Leaf.
Come on,
it's my
dude.
Fave.
We got a box right here.
Yeah.
You know what? Because a bunch of people have asked, we're going to do an unboxing video of it.
I'll show you all the stuff that comes in it. So the wines are packed in there, and then it has, you know, placards, a little card for all the stuff that comes with it.
It is the very best.
We'll go
through the packaging, by the way, is like, it's not all bubble wrapped and everything. Like, it's a light box.
It's super easy to unpack it.
How they did it is amazing.
Wow. And, engineering, man.
Yeah, I guess.
People are smart. They do this shit for a living. You can literally, you can get a master's degree in supply chain management, man. I'm telling you. Being in a capitalist society with everything getting shipped all the time, especially in the digital media age, you got to figure out shit. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we're shipping the seltzers, where it's like, hey, just get it delivered to your fucking house.
Yeah. In the meantime, you can get First Leaf. You go 30 bucks, you're going to get 6 bottles of wine.
Yeah.
Even if you don't intend on being a member in the future, which I think would be a mistake because it's the best wine club of all time, you can at least get that deal. Shit, man. That's a great fucking deal.
$29.95. For 6 bottles.
Yeah, it's an amazing deal.
All you do is you go there, you take a little survey about what you like. They'll actually pop open the bottles for you and be like, hey, hear it up. It'll pop up on the screen. Mm. And then be like, all right, if you don't like that one, let's say you've had a party or whatever.
It'll give you the chance to approve your selections before they get sent out and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's great.
And then you can go back on the site afterwards after you drink them and rate those wines. And based on those ratings, they custom tailor your future deliveries.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very low touch. Like 5 minutes a month you might spend on this.
Yeah.
And you will end up getting 5 minutes a month and not a whole lot of money. You're going to end up getting a very, very good wine collection that's bespoke to you.
I've had it forever now at this point. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros today for 6 bottles of different wine for $29.95 and free shipping. You're not going to beat that deal. Next up, Dan was alluding to this earlier, how Biden is now just doing what Trump was going to do and then calling it his own, which is, you know, to be expected, I think.
Yeah. So in the first 3 months, the Biden administration has been kind of a shit show, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing they come out of the gate and do is flex some of their muscle and get some of their campaign promises out of the way. We're going to do this and we're going to do this. And then like, fuck, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Of course it didn't fucking work. They already went back to the Trump era fucking immigration policies already.
Yes.
Obama talked that same shit in 2008 about Bush's fucking, Bush is racist and fucking blah, blah, blah. And then Obama ended up deporting more people than every president before him combined. All right?
Right.
Get fucked. So anyways, rolling back a variety of these Trump era rules led to economic crisis, border crisis, right? And when I say rolling back, I mean Trump was trying to get a $2,000 stimulus check passed. They told him to get fucked.
Yep.
Like there was less money to people and more money to question marks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is that's how the left works. And Americans generally look like idiots on the national stage right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We look like that motherfucker to get that you could steal on right now. It's not a good look.
I don't know if the world is really watching or caring anymore.
No, they're all fucking. And they're mired in their own bullshit right now for sure.
Yeah.
But it is important when you go to the negotiation table with other powerful countries that you seem like you've got your fucking house in order, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's important to do that. Anyways, so CNN reports that, this is my favorite part of this, that CNN reports that Biden is carrying out some of Donald Trump's biggest campaign promises by leaving America's longest war, Afghanistan, targeting economic aid at forgotten Americans, and building an infrastructure plan that, quote, may actually happen. May actually happen is my favorite part of that.
Yeah.
Because leaving Afghanistan and Iraq, building walls, investing in infrastructure, $2,000 stimulus check, deals with foreign governments to slow the rise of illegal immigration, all were things that they fucking fought him. They fought against him on.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of those things. And now they're doing them. What did I say this 2 weeks ago? They're going to go back and do all the stuff that Trump was going to do and then spike the football and pretend like it was their idea.
Yep.
Unfortunately, digital media lasts forever.
Yeah.
Right? And we'll just put these videos side by side and show that you're assholes.
Well, the problem is when you do that, you're going to get banned on Twitter. So I don't know where you're going to put these videos.
Yeah, we may have to put them up our own ass, to be honest. We'll have to see.
They cut out 25 seconds out of one of our shows last week?
Yeah. Luckily, we were able to post it somewhere else. But
yeah.
Now, not only is Biden adopting Trump's border enforcement policies, mm-hmm. including patching the wall, and making deals with Central America.
Oh, is they calling it patching?
I don't know what they're calling it exactly.
I would love
but
it.
But it's
if
not
it was
building
that,
the wall.
Yeah.
It's certainly not the build the wall button. Working to pull troops from Afghanistan, so on and so forth. I mean, it is just fucking silly, man. It's so obvious. And that's how dumb they think you are. They think you're so dumb that you can't see what they're doing. It's like a bad magician. And then he gets incredulous when you start to question his methodology. Like, dude, I saw you flip that card. He's like, oh, no, it's not even how it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I just saw it. Fuckface. I've got eyeballs. Biden wants to spend $2 trillion on infrastructure. Are you fucking kidding me?
2.5
now.
2.5, okay.
You expect the American taxpayer to simply give you $2.5 trillion to filter through the mire of government waste and inefficiency, you can get fucked, Mr. President.
Yeah, even in the COVID bill, what was it, 9% went to actual Americans or something like that? I mean, look that up, Bob. It was a crazy number. It was just, some of it went to what?
What do you mean, to individuals?
Yeah. Oh. To help like actual Americans. And there was another one in there where it was going to study like trans
and $15 million for Afghanistan fucking women's rights or some shit like that. Like, how about we fucking pay our own bills? first and take care of our own people first. At any rate, Whitney in chat asked a good question. Makes a good statement. So here is what they're claiming as infrastructure. I would love to see a line item budget for exactly what they're going to build and what they're calling infrastructure, right? Because I would imagine there's a bunch of woke bullshit in there. Like, I mean, technically, like, you can just say something now and it can become a thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, racism is a fucking public health crisis. No, it's
right.
not.
Right.
That's not what it is. You stupid fuck. Jesus yeah. Christ, man. You can't just say something is something and then pretend like it's that without being expecting to be challenged on it. The 16th Amendment absolutely has to go. I'm working on a design right now for apparel and shit to repeal the 16th Amendment.
Tell everybody what that is.
The 16th Amendment allows the federal government to collect income tax.
Yeah.
Right?
How do we get around it? Crypto?
That's one way, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. There's a lot of ways to get around it. The best way, in my opinion, to get around it is to for Texas to secede from the Union. By the way, 16th Amendment was ratified in 1913. So I don't want to hear about the founders in this conversation because they clearly did not want this.
Right. That yep. was 150 yeah. years later.
Yeah. 1913 is when that was ratified.
A little quick math here. It was 150 years later after the Constitution, but well, whatever.
Constitution was 1773. Right, or that was the Declaration of Independence, 1776.
Yeah. Constitution was post-war.
It's about 150, right?
25 yeah. plus 24 plus 13.
Look at that.
Is 37, so yeah. 137 years.
Yeah. God damn it, Ross is awesome, isn't
That's,
it?
You're off by 13.
Who
That's
cares?
Not that close.
Big deal. Matt Gaetz said he was off by 13. You know what I'm saying? Ah, nailed it.
Hey, clipping that.
Yeah, you should. I don't know what's going to happen with that fucking guy. We'll find out. Last but not least, I almost hate giving CNN any more fucking publicity.
Well, we just got like
there's a new biggest piece of shit in the universe, and it's Brian Stelter.
Yeah, he is such. He looks like a fucking circus clown without makeup on. Pull up a picture of this guy and put it on screen.
I'm way ahead of you. I read this in the fucking outline.
He looks like fucking Bozo.
Look at him. I'm Brian Stelter. Tune in next time for me sucking my own dick. Wow. What a fucking retard. Look at this clown.
Who took this like he's hosting SNL?
Yeah.
That looks like the bumpers for the SNL.
What a stupid fucking cunt this guy. So after being absolutely torn apart a couple years ago by Michael Wolff, who is a clown in his own right, by the way. If you don't remember, he's the guy that accused Trump of having an affair with Nikki Haley, which I find offensive because, one, I don't think Trump has ever had sex before.
He
talks like a dude that's never banged, to be honest. Like, remember that Steve Carell thing where he's like talking about titties feeling like sand?
Yeah.
That's Trump to me.
He's too rich. Everybody will fuck a rich guy, though.
That's he probably has had sex, yes. But certainly not with somebody like Nikki Haley, for Christ's sake.
No, he's going all fucking Tropicana models.
But in 2017, Wolf, of all people, said to Stelter, I think it is, and I mean this with truly no disrespect, but I think you can border on being sort of quite a ridiculous figure. It is not a good look to repeatedly and self-righteously defend your own self-interest. The media should not be the story every week.
Right.
That's a very apropos description of CNN at large, but certainly this cunt right here. Now, Stelter's driving the clown car again after ignoring his own crew being assaulted by rioters in Minneapolis. Apparently, all your fucking agenda was important to post about and talk about on your show, but your own crew being assaulted by fucking lunatics because it doesn't fit your narrative didn't merit any kind of response. What a fucking piece of shit.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Jesus Christ. This guy is certainly the get fucked of the
week. It's absolutely crazy. How long does he last over there, I wonder?
He'll look at his face. He's a creep.
Yeesh.
He'll get caught doing something soon.
Yeah.
James Klug, by the way, covered this. If you haven't seen it, you can see a lot of it on his Instagrams. But excuse me, a CNN crew was harassed and then chased away with shit being thrown at him out of Brooklyn Center by demonstrators that are often labeled as peaceful by CNN rather
fiery, but mostly peaceful, Tim.
As chaos following the police shooting of Dante Wright continued. Video of the incident was viral on Twitter before 8 p.m., but Stelter didn't feel the need to report on the incident himself.
Think
about that. Because you're so ingrained in a particular political opinion, your friends and colleagues being chased away in a very dangerous situation where people have already been hurt, And you don't, that doesn't even merit a response from you. You don't, no. You don't use your platform to say, hey, I understand your frustration, but you guys need to calm the fuck down. Instead, you stick with your narrative, even when it's to the detriment, physical threat detriment of your own people. That makes you a coward and a cunt.
Yeah. And
C-squared.
And here's the, I hate to say this, but this is completely true. I bet you Stelzer was rooting for one of those motherfuckers to get killed.
Oh, so he'd get some clout. Yeah, yes. For sure, yeah.
And then they would have higher ratings and then more advertisers and all that other shit. So, yeah.
Media Research Center Vice President Dan Gaynor said, quote, CNN's journalism newsletter buries news that makes its side look bad, even when its side attacks CNN employees. This is the same thing that happened with the DNC shit out in fucking the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
People like Jerry Nadler were refusing to admit Antifa exists, as people who dress like Antifa, look like Antifa, and act like Antifa burned down their fucking headquarters. Like, how fucking crazy do you have to be? If I didn't want to admit that something existed, like, I don't think
the moon landing?
Yeah, no. Like, I don't think that, and let's say I didn't think Antifa existed, and I'm standing out on my front lawn watching my house burn down, and there's a bunch of masked and hooded people in black clothes standing around, and the media comes up to me and goes, hey, what do you think about Antifa? I'm like, actually, they don't exist.
Yeah.
Fiery, but mostly peaceful. Look at them standing there.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be a real piece of fucking shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
to do this. So there you have it, folks. The facts don't matter. Only the narrative does, even when your friends and colleagues are in literal danger. Brian Stelter.
And Buffalo Bill was saying here, he goes, remember when all your liberal friends were saying they were paranoid about that we were really going to stack the court and they, you know, attack the Electoral College and all that shit? I'm actually with you on that. I thought...
Self-projection.
I thought for sure. I was like, there's no way. When those motherfuckers were trying to raise that bill this morning...
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
They're absolutely trying. Look, if they thought they could pass it without blowback and pushback, they would fucking do it for sure. Otherwise, they wouldn't be talking about it. If somebody's talking about that shit out loud, that means they're thinking about doing it. That's how fucking thoughts work, by the way. Stupid motherfucker.
Not the listener, by the way. But
oh, no, not you. No, I'm just talking about dum-dums that don't believe shit.
Congress. Now's the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week. Submit your nominations at drinkingbros.com. While you're there, get some of this new apparel. I got the new, boom, Drinking Bros Pornhub logo. We're not better than this. This is exactly who we are.
I think that one's coming out in another color, too. It's going to come out in black soon.
This is nice. Mm-hmm. That's a nice shirt. I just pulled it out of the box. I ordered my own fucking shirt on there today. Go to drinkingbros.com for the merch. And all these stickers, and we have a ton of cool shit now. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if it was ever going to happen, and it finally did. And look where we are.
Yeah.
And then you can submit for Drinking Bro of the Week. They come in live into our inbox, and then we just read them live on air. So whatever happens, happens here. This one is from Zach Morris from Arizona. Zach Morris?
You think it's him?
I hope it's him.
We should... Let's reach out to Mark Paul Gosselier and find out if he's doubling.
If he's in Arizona. Yeah. Zach Morris from Arizona, member of Drinking Bros for 3 years, is nominating Alex Morris. Okay. Reason for nomination, he's still alive. That's what he says. Just in case.
Just get that out of the way, yeah.
This was a dark episode that this popped up on.
You never know. With these,
you don't. You really don't know. Most people look up to their older brothers, but it was different. I looked... up to my younger brother, Alex. He did 5 years in the USMC, which caused me to join the Air Force. He claims he did 2 deployments to Japan. He's been a Drinking Bro for 4 years, is the guy who got me into Drinking Bros. Congrats on the new baby, bud. See you soon. Also, I hope the episode... this is attached to is real dirty.
Well, unfortunately, it was just a fake news episode, but maybe we can.
We never know. We can make it fucking dirty if you want to.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Zach Morris, man. It's unfortunate because he was probably born before Saved by the Bell came out. No parent would do that and be like, hey, here's Zach Morris.
Yeah, I would hope not. Shit.
That'd be like me naming my kid AC Slater. You know what you're getting into with that. But that's a really funny fucking nomination. Holy shit. just in case it was a dark episode.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
Look, we can always make it real dark.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, what's the most depressing? Just type in to Google what's the most depressing statistic you can think of, and then we'll end with that. So we'll make it dark for him here at the end. Because I've actually enjoyed myself today. I had a very lovely time, but let's make it dark for that. The most depressing fact or statistic that is out there today in the world.
Mm.
There it is.
Of course, Reddit's got a list.
Yeah.
I had to put Reddit in there because the first one was all...
Smart of you.
Yeah.
Smart of you doing it. What do we got?
The first one was kind of lame. The average human will be completely forgotten after 3 generations.
That's not that bad. I don't want to be remembered. Go to the next one.
What do we got next?
Of the estimated 107 billion people who have ever lived on Earth, 50% of those didn't live to see their first birthday.
Wow.
Ah, shit. That's depressing.
Yeah.
God damn. All right. That's good. Yeah, you want a dark episode, Zach Morris. Congratulations. Yeah. You're getting it. Find another one, huh, Bob?
Yeah, sure.
Bob's going to kill himself after the show. It's like they kept making me look up fucked up shit, man.
Can't take it. Someone just wrote, in 1 month, I will have been unemployed for a year.
Wow. Ooh, that's depressing, too. Yeah. Reddit, you can get real dark on Reddit, man, if you wanted to. That's funny. Holy shit. Yeah, so we'll make it dark if you want. I mean, we can go darker than that.
Don't tell me what to do.
I think it's become a competition, Bob. Let's
see. In the United States, 45 out of 50 states have more prisoners in the psych ward of the largest prison of that state than the largest mental hospital of that state.
Go back to that one again?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me read it. United States, 45 out of 50 states have more prisoners in the psych ward of the... So there's more people with mental health disorders that are in prison than there are in mental health hospitals.
Yes.
Oof.
God, that's
dark. We may have missed on that one.
Yeah. That's a dark one, man.
Yeah.
That was a good one. The entire budget to send the Curiosity rover to Mars is less than the worldwide military budget for 15 hours.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit.
Mars sucks anyways.
Yeah. Well, does it? We don't know. We've never been there.
Well, we recently
Matt Damon
found...
looked like he was having a decent time.
Well,
parts of that movie.
Nah, he was using his own poop to make fucking potatoes. How good of a time could that be?
Depends on how, you know, if you like the taste of your own poop.
Yeah, whose poop do you want to use?
Yeah.
I prefer to not use poop.
21,000 people starve to death every single day. Most of them are kids.
Yeah. How many people?
21,000.
Yeesh.
That seems like a lot.
Yeesh. I'll go. I'll end this one, Bob. I'm going to get a little more dark for you, okay?
Cool.
For the audience here. A human head remains conscious for around 20 seconds after being decapitated.
I don't know if I believe that. How would they even know that's true? What, did they fucking ask the guy?
I don't know.
The fuck out of here. That's bullshit. Like, what does it mean to be conscious anyways?
Yeah, I feel like it's like concussion conscious where you're like wobbly. You don't really know what's happening.
I buy that, though. I think you're alive for 20 seconds. Like, I think your shit's still going for 20 seconds. I don't. Yeah, that one I'll say is true. For sure. Humans shed skin. The World Health Organization, who I dislike, says the average person will shed roughly 112 pounds of skin in their lifetime. Now, that one makes me want to fucking vomit. That one makes me want to absolutely fucking...
I don't mind that.
Vomit.
I mean, that's what dust in your house is. It's mostly dead skin.
Okay.
Right? Dead bugs and dead skin. That's what dust really is.
Your cell phone is more disgusting than a public toilet.
That's
your
absolutely
cell phone,
true, yeah.
Has 10 times more bacteria on it than the average public restroom.
Yeah, so you're more likely to get pink eye from your phone being near your face than you are from eating ass, to be honest. And it is, ass eating season is over, right?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
So be careful out there, guys.
Be careful. Well, no, shit. I think it's May 1st.
Oh, it is May 1st.
Yeah,
so you've got...
We got 2 more weeks. 2 more weeks to eat ass.
You got two more weeks to eat ass, guys.
And the last one I'll give you here before we leave tonight is you could be trapped in a coma-like state and be aware of it. Locked-in syndrome is probably the most terrifying medical condition. It's when you're stuck between asleep and awake, and you know you're awake, and you can hear and see things around you. However, you can't talk and can only move your eyes, so you're unable to respond to anything.
Right. Do you...
That's awful.
You know the song One by Metallica?
Yeah.
That's what that's about, basically.
Really?
Yeah. So it's based on a book called Johnny Get Your Gun, about a man in World War II who stepped on a landmine, blew off his arms, legs, deafened him, and blinded him. Darkness imprisoning me, all that I see, absolute horror. I cannot live, I cannot die.
Yep.
And it goes on to say his body's his holding cell. The book is basically about that process and him trying desperately to get somebody to kill him.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you wanted to end on a fucking dark note...
We're going
to
end on that one. And you're welcome, Zach Morris, and I hope you and your brother enjoy that, because if you want it dark, we can always go more dark. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.